Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank is the one who does those great scouting reports on the YouTube channel for the Bloggy. If you have our app, there's a button that will take you right to the channel, and you could watch all of T. Frank's great videos, including a recent one where he did a scouting report for us on Duke transfer tackle Derek Tangelo. I highly recommend you check out the video after you listen to our segment first. T. Frank, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing well. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing well. The weather's warmed up. We're talking Penn State football. We're getting close to those official visits in June. All is well. But for today, we are talking about one of the transfers that came in. Interesting player, and that's defensive lineman Derek Tangelo. You got to watch a lot of the tape of him playing at Duke. Let's get right to it. What is Penn State getting with this player?
You're getting a mature football player. And I know that that's probably something you've heard before, but in every sense of the word, not just a guy that is a, you know, serious about what he's doing sort of person, not maturity just in the personal sense, but a mature game, great hand usage, strong, complete build as a football player. So everything you're looking for a high floor sort of player, as far as, you know, the little things in football, he does all of those very well.
That's great to hear. And is he played at Duke? That's an ACC program, although Duke was probably at the bottom of the ACC. He got plenty of playing time there against some pretty good competition. But I still think it's a step up to what he's doing now, stepping in at Penn State with a Big Ten schedule. Is he ready to contribute right away?
Yes, absolutely. Now, Duke as a team might have not been one of the top teams in the ACC, but that was one of the best D-lines in the ACC as far as a good complement of players between Tangelo on the inside. They had Victor Dembuque and Chris Rumpf on the outside as far as pass rushers. So that was a good defensive line and with mature seniors that had developed into good football players. So it didn't matter as well, you know, who they played against. He was good against Notre Dame. He was the same player against Coastal Carolina. Like, across all levels of competition, he was relatively the same football player. I think in the Notre Dame game, he got hurt a little bit early. Like, there was one play where they stopped the game. He came off the field. I don't know what long-term impact it had on him into the third and fourth quarter, but I thought early in that game, he held his own against some, you know, half of that line was drafted this year in the NFL draft for Notre Dame. And he was going back and forth with those guys the whole time. So this is a guy who's battle tested and is a good football player and will fit right in the Big Ten.
And I'm sure that it helps for any of these transfer players to get into the program in the spring. This preparation has got to be important and get him playing with his teammates already in the spring.
Yeah, and getting into a system that I think is similar to what Duke has, so it should be a quick transition for a guy that's been, you know, he's a fifth-year senior defensive tackle. Again, a mature guy is going to be able to handle a new playbook pretty well because he understands the game of football and he understands the concepts that he's going against, and that's really one of the best things you see on film is it doesn't matter what concept is brought his way, what type of block is brought his way, he executes his assignment and he's rarely wrong. Now, is he making impact plays on every play? No, but that's not to be expected. If he was, he would have been drafted this spring. But that being said, he's a good football player that doesn't make mistakes. So all of this is going to accelerate his integration into the Penn State offense or defense, excuse me, which shouldn't have been a problem to begin with.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about PJ Mustafa. He put on weight and became more of what we would traditionally call a one technique versus a three technique, more that run stuffing size in the middle, just stuff everything, where the three technique is more a guy who gets a one-on-one type environment and may be able to rush the quarterback on.
Yep.
How do you classify Tangelo? If you had to label him a one or a three technique, which would you label him?
I don't want to is the problem.
Oh, okay.
Well, so that's to me, that's the problem. There's two ways to look at this. There's the way to look at it, which is what he does. And then there's the way to look at it as what I'd like to do and how I would build a defensive line. He is first and foremost a run defender. So he is a very good run defender with good quickness and good pop off the ball. But I think it's fair to point out he's a fifth year defensive tackle that wasn't good enough. Didn't have a good enough grade to go to the NFL draft. So he's coming back for one more year to highlight his skills at Penn State. So those are the limitations you're working with. I don't think he is a true three technique in the full sense of he's not a dynamic pass rusher. He's a good pass rusher with good skills, good hand usage, good effort, but he is not a dynamic pass rusher. So if I were building a defensive line, I would want to put a guy like this at one technique. I would want him absorbing double teams and rushing the passer and pushing the pocket with his quickness, which would be great for that position, but is just good for a three technique. He'll likely play three technique, though, because of PJ Mustafa, because of his positional and body type fit. He'll be a three technique, but I think he's got the versatility to play either position. So if you wanted to give Mustafa a break, you can slide him over to the 2-I, and you can have Akeem Beeman or whomever else is at the 3 technique slide in at the other defensive tackle, and you can have a little more quickness on the field. So he brings a versatility, and he brings a high floor. But when we're talking about how would I build a defensive line, where would I want to slate him ideally is where he was at Duke, where he was the primary run stuffer, and he was offering you good pass rush from that position and not, you know, their primary defensive tackle pass rusher. Here, I think you're going to have some versatility of usage and the early down three technique to stop the run.
Not to give away everything you talked about on the tape, but one of the things you mentioned that was interesting was that the Big Ten specifically is still a conference that they're more likely to run the ball on first down than
not. Yeah, and it's the teams you wouldn't expect, too. The teams that you think are wide open and pass the ball all the time, offensive coordinators are still relatively conservative when it comes to running the ball on first down and setting up their offense for a good second down. There's a lot when it comes to analytics. If you ever want to check out the analytics stuff, you know, I'm a huge fan of PFF. They've done a lot of studies on the inefficiency of running on first down. And it's just because everyone knows it's coming. The defense can predict that. Now, what type of run it is, now with the read option and quarterbacks running more and putting players in conflict, that's where you're gaining the advantage on first down. But it's still, even if you're running your quarterback, it is a conservative by nature decision to not throw the football. So if we're going to talk about camp battles and all of those things, Tangelo might start in the term of he's the first player on the field for the first snap. But depending on the opponent and depending on, you know, how the game goes, I think he's so vastly different from Akeem Beeman, who's the other guy that we talk about a lot at that position, that I don't know that they play the same position, because one of them is going to be a pass rusher. The other one is probably not going to be on the field for pass rushing downs.
Well, you talked about, you know, teams' tendencies and they'll still more likely to run the ball on first down. That sounds like a segment we're going to do at some point this summer. And by the way, I've heard it said it was coach speak, but at some point, first down's the easiest down to pass on, and especially play action passing.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've always been a huge advocate of that. With that said, back to Tangelo, and again, you know, cheating off of what you talked about in your video, it sounds like Tangelo and Akeem Beeman might be a good tandem where, as you said, Tangelo's the first guy on the field on first down. And if you're in a passing situation, Beeman comes in, and between the two of them, you probably have a really good tackle next to PJ Mustafa.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the context that's important with Tangelo and important to understand about what his game is, because you're not getting a guy that fixes every problem in the transfer portal. He's going to come in and give you a lot of really good things. And I don't want to disparage his gameplay or style or anything, because it's critical for Penn State. Like, they got a huge win with him in the transfer portal. But he's not a first-round pick sort of player that's going to be the dynamic disruptor, help you chase down whoever replaces Justin Fields at Ohio State. Like, he is an above-average-at-everything sort of football player, and the complement of skills at that position, again, raises the floor for that position, and it means that you don't have to bank on one of these young defensive tackles turning into something and becoming that guy. You have that assurance on the roster now through game film and experience and all of those things. So anything you get out of those younger tackles is going to be a critical bonus. Like, they need one of them to step forward and be the next in line and start that journey now. But what you have is you have a guy that I think has better run skills and better run instincts than anybody they've had in a long time at defensive tackle. That's a huge asset, and that is something that they are going to be able to use this year regardless of the number of snaps he plays, depending on situations and stuff like that. So he might not get whatever you think is good for a defensive tackle. He's not going to get 5, 6, 8 sacks, but he's going to be a huge contributor on the defensive line.
And that's critically important, and especially if he could occupy two people, that frees things up for the defensive ends, right?
Well, defensive ends, linebackers, this is the real rub of what it's like to try and defend the run in 2021 is you're going to have maybe one linebacker sometimes in the box. So if you've got dominant defensive tackles that can eat up as many blocks as possible and delay guards getting to the second level, centers and guards getting to the second level, that gives that guy a chance. Because you've got to find a way to defend with less in the box to allocate resources elsewhere and redictate the terms. I'm a broken record when it comes to this stuff, but like, you've got to find a way to redictate the terms to the offense. Because I was watching Indiana's offense on film today, and they're just phenomenal at putting you in crappy situations. You've got to have guys that just win their one-on-one matchups or do something more along the defensive line to help level out the equation. And that is what Mustafa and Tangelo can do, is shut down the interior run game for teams and then allow flow to the football, whether it's defensive ends, whether it's slot corners, whoever's rallying to the football, whoever's on the field, those guys have a better chance with Mustafa and Tangelo occupying the interior.
And it's something we've talked about on this show for years now with Ross Tucker. It's, you know, maintain your base there and in the middle of the defense with your tackles, and that just opens up everything else for you. If you, vice versa, if you get owned at that place in the middle of the line, everything else falls apart. T. Frank, unfortunately, we're out of time. That is it for this edition of our show. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.